Okay, so we are holding on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, the second line from the bottom.
Yud Zayin Amud Aleph?
Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, second line from the bottom by the true dot.
I didn't like that. I turned the page, I didn't even know I got hit it just for Yud Zayin. I didn't like that.
Okay, so the Mishnah had said that you're allowed to shecht with anything, except we said chutz mimago kotzer v'hamagera, except you're not allowed to shecht with a scythe, a sickle that's used for cutting grain, because that has not, so we said, we started by mentioning in the Mishnah that a mago yad is chitose k'shere kosher v'diyet. And the reason is because a mago yad, the one that's used for hand cutting, has two edges to the blade. One edge is smooth, the other edge is serrated. So therefore, as long as you use the smooth edge, you're okay. But l'chatchila, you shouldn't, because you might mistakenly use the serrated edge without realizing. The Mishnah had said, though, that you can't shecht with a mago kotzer, with a sickle that's used for harvesting, meaning the kind that's used for large-scale harvesting, because that kind has... Now, that kind has notches, that kind has serrations, however, they all point in one direction. They all, in other words, if you think about it, they're not like, think of like the serrations of a saw, where they point downward. Here, it's like they point at an angle. So, in principle, you could shecht with such a knife, you could shecht with such a thing, as long as you're going only in one direction. But if you were to go in the other direction, then you have a problem because then it's going to catch and then it's going to tear things. Okay, I don't know what today's sickles have. I've never today's sickles. Who cuts with a sickle anyway nowadays?
John Deere.
Yeah. Fine. Okay, you can see an illustration a bit over here. Sichas Chulin. It's a very, very amazing safer on everything that we need to know in Chulin. We'll be making use of it regularly, Be'ez Hashem. And you can see that you have the serrations of it all point in one direction.
There's the guy throwing the knife in it.
Yeah.
But wait, what about the knife that bounced off?
Let's focus right now on what we have. Okay. And we said also the Mishnah said you can't use Bahamagera. You don't have to go both ways. We're going to learn later on that you could just go one way as long as the knife is long enough that you don't do jirasa.
Then why did you have to bounce the knife off the wall and come back?
Okay, you don't have to. In principle, as long as you do it in one direction, it's enough as long as, Okay, onward. So, we said in Mishnah you can't use a Margo Costa, Bahamagera, and you also can't use a saw. Same idea because a saw has serrations. So let's talk about exactly what kind of serrations or nicks in a knife possible. We want to start off. Avur de Shmuel pogam b'shodar, the father of Shmuel, who was one of the rabbanim, who was one of the great rabbanim in Babel, he made a knot or a nick or whatever in a knife and sent it off to Eretz Yisrael and then did another one. He made like many different nicks of different shapes in knives and sent them to Eretz Yisrael to ask like which ones would pass all the shchita and which ones would not. Shohule, and they sent back to him the message, here's how you tell what kind makes it possible, kimagera shanini. Our Mishnah had mentioned that you can't shecht with a saw, so therefore it means when the notch or the nick or whatever is like the notches in the blade of a saw. So the point is,
Megera
is a saw. The point is, the notches, the nicks, in the blade of a saw have the each pagam, Rashi described, each pagam, each nick has two edges. So in other words, let's say, for example, now we're not talking about obviously the thing is full of notches, and for sure it's possible, we're talking about even one notch. If you have one notch like that in a blade of a knife, what's going to happen? When you run your fingernail along it in one direction, it'll catch on the one edge, and if you were to do it in the other direction, it'll catch on the other edge. So that's the kind that would pass all the shvita. As opposed to, we're going to talk about what if you have a notch that you feel only in one direction. Namely, we'll have examples of it over here. The kind of notch that they're sending to Avor de Shmuel is possible is this kind, where it has two edges to the notch, and therefore either way, if you put your fingernail over it, it's going to catch. As opposed to, you have one where the notch can be felt only in one direction. You go in the one direction along the knife and you'll feel it, but you go in the other direction, you won't. It won't catch. So that's something else. let's turn it up on him. We learn in a braisa. Let's talk more about
one
that.
One is like a tonic and the other one is like just a
sense. Right. But the braisa says, Sakin Shiyesh Bak Zimis Tarbe, if a knife has a lot of nix in it, then it's treated as far as the dinim of shchita like a saw, meaning in other words, there we don't care whether it's a one-sided knot or a two-sided one, because you have a lot of them, then it's going to be possible, because inevitably then you're going to have, okay, so the edge of one of them won't catch, but the edge of the next one will or whatever, so therefore it would be possible. Rasha'en ba'elok gimach, suppose the knife only has one notch in it, then it depends on the shape of the notch. A gerith if it is a geras, and hold on, we're going to define these terms in a second. If it's a geras, then it's kosher. If it's misuch seches, then it's kosher. Heichi dami a geras, heichi dami misuch seches. Heichi dami a geras, heichi dami misuch seches. What are the definitions of these two? Amrabul yazer, or Amrabul really is supposed to be. A geras means mishtei ruchas. A geras means like what we just described, where the notch has two edges, like that, or like that. So therefore, whichever way you run your fingernail along it, it's going to catch.
Okay.
That's a gerith. The word a gerith, well, not spike, it's a notch. But the point is, a gerith actually, so the word a gerith is related to the word that Rashi describes as related to the word oiger bakai, ogra bakoster machala. A gerith means that it gathers something into it. So like you run your fingernail along it and it gets gathered in because you have like a V shape over there and therefore like your fingernail falls into the notch. So in both of that again. The suchsefes would be beruah hafas. The suchsefes is where the notch is only from one direction. So the fingernail won't be a geras, it won't be caught in there. Because it's shaped like a check mark, exactly, like this. So like in other words, you have the blade is going straight, it starts going in over here, and then at one point it has, yeah. So now, if you go with your fingernail along in this direction, it's going to catch.
Right.
But if you go in the other direction, it won't. And either way, it's not going to be a gerith. The fingernail is not going to be stuck in there because it's only from one direction. So that's the success. So that's the success. So that's the braisa saying. If you only have one notch in a knife and it is the success, then it's kosher. Now, well, hold on. We're going to talk about in a second. There are rules. Hold on. We're going to see. There are rules about that. Wait. Okay, but first, those are the definitions that get us in the Sotah. By the way, later on, the Gemara is going to use another term. The Gemara is going to later on use another term, Shetachgur Batsiparim. And you have different Mepharshim have an argument over there. Is that a third possibility? Is Tachgur something different than a Geras, or is it basically the same thing? Is it that it means, in other words, Shetachgur Batsiparim means that the fingernail will get caught in it? Or does it mean that the fingernail will feel it, which is, of course, a much smaller thing? You could have a notch which is too small for the fingernail to get caught in, but it's small enough, but still, the fingernail will still feel it when it passes over it. So you have post-skin who understand that that's a stricter standard. So we'll get to that as we go through the story over here. We'll talk about what are the standards for notches and nicks and knives. Okay. Fine. So the question is, the Gemara is going to mention that the top of your Chesamad Aleph, you have Shetachgur Batsiparim. So the definition, whether a geret and chagetin and shetachar are the same thing or two different things, that's the subject of a machlokes rishonim. But wait, okay. So first of all, we have to ask like this, the Gemara says. Maishna mishtei ruchas. Now, why are you telling me the shchita is possible if you have a notch that has two edges, a V-shaped notch? You're telling me that it's possible because murshakama machlish. Now, what happens like this? What's the whole reason why a knife with a notch in it is going to be possible? Because you have to cut through the simonim, and like you have to cut through the kana and the besht, and like this. Instead of cutting, it's going to rip them. Now, obviously, well, one second. Now, the point is, obviously, I mean, the windpipe and the esophagus, the kana and the besht, are below the skin, below they're behind the skin and behind the muscles. In order for a knife that has a notch in it to tear them, you first have to get through the skin and you have to get through the muscles. So what happens if you have a knot? If you have a knife with a V-shaped notch, then what happens? The Mursha Kama Machlish. What happens then is the first edge of the notch is going to weaken. It's going to cut through. It's going to cut through and sort of like flatten out, Rashi says, the skin and the muscles. And then Mursha Basra Baza. And then when you come to the second edge of the notch, already you're going to have the muscles have been cut through. Then it's going to be able to rip the corner of the vest, and therefore you're going to have a possible shchita. In that case, you should argue, then why is it different with Mitzvah? Why is Mitzvah Sechet any better? Meruach Achas Nami, so if you have a knot shaped like a check mark, Mitzvah Sechet, don't you have the same problem? Chorfer Tefakina Machlish, the sharp blade of the knife is going to cut through and then flatten out the skin and the muscles, and Moshe Baza, and then you're going to come to the corner of the notch over there, and that's going to rip through the simonim. So don't you have the same problem? That's the answer. The answer is because, first of all, well, before we get to directions, the answer is Dikoyim Aresha de Sakina. Okay, the answer is, the Gemara says, you're right. You're not talking about where this one-sided notch with Mitzvah Sefet is in the middle of the knife. You're right. If it's in the middle of the knife, you're going to have a problem because then it's going to break the simonim. But we can be talking about where this thing is only at the end of the knife. The Dikoyim Aresha de Sakina is only at the end of the knife.
Right.
It's only at the end of the night, so therefore you don't have a problem of it reaching the simonim. When you start doing the shchita, the part over there with the notch is cutting through the skin and the muscles. Fine, no problem there yet. You haven't reached the simonim. By the time you reach the simonim, you're dealing with the smooth edge of the knife. Okay. The problem is so ki osa baza. Okay, but then you have the problem. You're going to go back in the other direction. You're gonna go back in the other direction. Then your vice are gonna have that the knife, the blade of the knife as it's cutting through, ki osa baza, and then that notch on the end is gonna hit the simonim and tear them. But the answer must be to shaholach v'lehevi. The answer is that such a knife would only work only if you did the shitter with a one directional movement without going back. You're right. If you were to go backwards, then you would have a problem, because then you're going to rip. But as long as you're going, you're only holus, you're only moving it outward, the behavior, and not bringing it back to you, then you're good. So that would be the only case where the sechet works, where it's on the end of the knife, and you made sure, that's why it would be kosher, but even then, only with the evidence, because well, clearly you shouldn't, because you might end up doing halacha bava and not realizing. But therefore, it could be kosher. But the evidence, provided that it's on the end of the knife, and you know for a fact that you only did a motion in one direction. There are, by the way, there are other Rishonim who have a different understanding of the shape of Mitzvah Sechet, that the Rambam understands that it's more like something like a spice that sticks out of the knife, but like with a curve to it. So therefore, the same idea, like you have as long as you're dealing only with the curved side, then you're okay. But if you were to deal with the spice side, then you have a problem. Whatever. The idea is the same thing. Lachatchila, you shouldn't be using it. But the other you used it, and you can be sure that you didn't use that part for the actual shchita, then you're okay. With that said, it says in Shulchan Aruch, clearly you shouldn't be doing such a thing. One heter you have for such a thing is on Yom Tov, it mentions sin. If you have you're allowed technically to shech an animal on Yom Tov, although I don't think nowadays they do that. But if you have a knife that has a nick in it, and you're not allowed to sharpen it on Yom Tov, then fine. What you can do is you can wrap a cloth around the nick part to be sure that you won't use it, and then you can check with the remainder of the knife. But otherwise you shouldn't be doing even that. Fine. Omar Rava, for now Rava says, here is more dinim about the knife and about notches and whatever in it. Gimel midos v'sakin. There are three types of situations involving a shchita knife. Number one, if you have a notch in it, that's a geres, like we said, the fingernail gets caught in it. And by the way, also, I should mention, you have a Rishonim who learned that a geres doesn't even just mean a fingernail. A geres could even mean that something even smaller would get caught in it. Even, it says in Shulchan Aruch, kochot ha'chayr, even if you have this, like, you pack a hair along the blade and it would get caught in it, that's enough to be considered a geres. So,
a geres means,
the V-shape, right. So that kind you should lo yishchot, you're not allowed to shech with it. V'im shochot, shechot tzitzula, and if he does shech with it, then the shchita is possible. Because like we said, then it'll end up ripping through the simonim rather than cutting them clean. Mitzuchsechas lo yishchot bala hapchila, the second kind is a mitzuchsechas, the one where the notch is shaped like a check mark, where your fingernail stops in it only in one direction. Lo yishchot bala hapchila, so you shouldn't shech in it with it hapchila, because you might shech in the wrong direction, and then you'll end up ripping the simonim. V'im shochet, shechitas et cheder, but as long as, if he shechs it, and he can be sure that he did the right thing, then the shechit will be kosher, because then
the
ogeret is even the other is possible. So inevitably, that's going to rip the simonim. Yeah. The mesuchsecha, so hapchila, you shouldn't, the other is kosher. The third case, Rava says, Ola v'yoda v'sakin. Suppose you have a knife where the blade of it just goes up and down. Meaning, in other words, you can have, for example, that you had a knife that had a notch in it, and then you went and sharpened it, but you didn't take care to make that the edge is smooth now. So now you have, like, it goes in like this, or it goes out like this, or it goes even up and down like this, like a snake.
Right.
Fine, but there's no actual notches, there's no actual sharp edges. Therefore, Rava says, even you could check with the knife. As long as there aren't any edges to the notches, as long as it's all smoothed out, as long as it's all smooth curves, then you're okay. So that's the third time.
The modern shechita knife, is it just straight, exactly straight?
Yes, and we're going to talk about sakinim molotoshim, which comes from the sakinim molotoshim that are the takana of the musician Magid, and later on the Alter Rebbe. Yeah, well, we'll talk about that shortly.
So, please.
What's the Japanese knife? I have no idea.
You know?
I guess, as long as it has a sharp, as long as the edge of it is sharp, I suppose so.
You like a samurai sword?
Yeah. No, samurai sword is different.
I don't know. I have no idea, I guess.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Omelet of Huna Breder of Nechemil Ravashi. Amrit Lon Mishmei Derova. Okay, so the Huna Breder of Nechemil says to Ravashi like this. Amrit Lon Mishmei Derova. Now, you told us in Rava's name, that we said before, that mesuchsechet sula, that a knife with a mesuchsechet notch in it, the check mark shaped one is possible. What do you mean it's possible? The Omer Rava, Tanya says on the side, mesuchsechet chera. What we said before, that Rava says that a mesuchsechet is kosher. We learned before in a braita that the mesuchsechet is kosher. So what do you mean it's possible? Well, again, we said it means that the notch is one-sided. It's like a check mark. So the blade goes straight, and it's starting to dip down, and then at some point you have it goes back up and continues straight. Here, like we had examples of it over here. Yeah, like a check mark. Here, the example was like this, for example. So it goes in, and then it's going, yeah. So you, Rav Ashi, are telling us in Rava's name that's possible. Didn't we say before that's kosher b'di'evin? The answer is like kasha, kasha holich behavi, kasha holich behavi. Very simple. One is talking about if you move it back and forth, then it's going to be possible because even if it doesn't catch in one direction, it's going to catch in the other direction and rip with the simanim. And the other is talking about where you did halacha and not halacha. And then we said as long as it's only on the end, and you're careful to do only halacha, so that the notch doesn't rip with the simanim, then you're okay. Omelet of Acha Breder of Ivi Yilor of Ashi. Next, Rav Acha Breder of Ivi Asher of Ashi. Here's another question about a knife. Damiel Asasa, my. What about if the edge of the knife is like a sasa? A sasa means the hairs, the hair-like things that grow on top of a stalk of grain, on top of a stalk of wheat or barley or whatever. They feel rough, but they feel rough when you touch them. But unless you were to look at them under a microscope, you don't see any actual notches. They feel rough to the touch, right. But there's no actual gimmicks that you can point to. So a knife like that would be similar. You can have that. We're all out.
So we're all out. It's a good thing. So yeah.
Right there, right behind you.
Okay. There we go. Yeah. Okay. So what if you have if the knife is Zamiel Asasa? It feels rough to the touch, and therefore it... And like it feels like that. It feels like these hairs on top of a stalk of grain. But there's no actual noticeable notch in it, unless you were to look under a microscope. What would be the gene with such a thing? Yeah, again, you have a couple of other explanations of showing him what exactly the Damiel Asasa is. The rib holds, it means the knife is exceptionally sharp. Like much sharper than usual. You have another explanation. The Alter Rebbe brings from Yerushalayim that it means the knife has been sharpened so much, like you feel sometimes on the edge of a sharp piece of metal, you have like almost like a thread of metal, like you have like a metal thread sort of on the edge of it. Whatever. So what would be the din with that? Omalei, so Rav Ashi answers, it's fine. Man yoiv lon mibisre v'achlin, and halabai, somebody would give us meat from such an animal that was shechted with such a knife, and we could eat it. In other words, it's perfectly kosher. With that said, it says in Shulchan Aruch that Amal brings that since we're not really familiar with what Damiel Asasa is versus having an actual notch, then we shouldn't do it. Now there comes in the whole concept of sakinim molotoshim. So we know the famous thing that in the early period of Chassidus, the Mezuzah Magid made the takana that there should be sakinim molotoshim, And the Alter Rebbe vigorously defends that, in particular the Teshuva printed in the back of the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch, in the back of Yerodeya. That's it. And you have. So one second. And you also had, though, the Mitznagdim of that period were very against this, as in general they were against many of the other Chidushim of Chidus. And there were the places where they actually made Charomim against eating meat that was shechted, whether it was second in Molotoshim or whatever. Eventually, the Takana was accepted, and nowadays I don't think you find anybody who shechts with anything other than second in Molotoshim. What is second in Molotoshim? So Alter Rebbe explains in this Truva briefly, it's like this. He says, the verse is, the old kind of knives that they were using before the Takana, they were made out of a thick piece of iron or steel or whatever, and then they're only sharpened like towards the edge of the blade. So the problem is, it's very hard to get them both sharp and smooth. So the result is, the Shoshim didn't want to make that it should be extra smooth at the expense of sharpness, because the fact is, you need it to be sharp in order to shecht. You don't want to be sitting there all day shechting, and then you have a problem of shahiyah, that you're taking too long over the shritta, and it will be possible. So they figured, okay, so it won't be 100% sharp. So it'll be, they won't be 100% smooth. It'll be like this damula sasa. It'll be like rough to the touch. Big deal. The Gemara is saying over here, it's fine to do that. So they would make sure that it's exceptionally sharp. They would make sure it's as sharp as possible, but the extent of being perfectly smooth. Now, the fact is, it is allowed off the alafa, although the Ramah is saying better we shouldn't do it, because we're not bucky in what's damula sasa versus notches. So after that, it says the advantage of Sakin and Molotoshim, which is, Molotoshim basically means they taper, the thickness of the knife tapers towards the blade gradually rather than you have. It's like a thick thing like this, and then it all of a sudden comes to a point at the blade. The result of Sakin and Molotoshim is you're able to have the best of both. You're able to have that it's sharp and smooth without being damula sasa. And that's the reason behind the Takana, and therefore that's why the Siddim were careful. The original concept of Lubavitch Shchita, the original concept of the Shurs of Shemir Chassid, was based on this idea that you should use Sakinim Molotoshim. Okay, the Alter Rebbe says there, fine, obviously somebody who eats meat that's not from Sakinim Molotoshim, you can't say Shreif Chassid, but nevertheless it is a Hidur to do that, and eventually once the Machlokas between the Siddim and the Snagdim calmed down, then everybody accepted that, and nowadays I don't think there's anybody who uses anything other than Sakinim
Molotoshim. Is like this.
It's where there's tapers towards the blade. Tapers from the base, not from the base, from the thick. Imagine think of a kitchen knife, right? You have a top and you have a blade that cuts, right? So here it tapers towards the bottom and becomes it's thin thickness, right? And therefore it becomes
before
very.
Before
they had ones that were basically like one thick slab of iron or steel or whatever, that then only towards the bottom would they sharpen it. And then it was very hard to get it both sharp. Yeah, it was very heavy, but more to the point. So initially, the Mitznagdim were against it because in general, all these various things that the Chassidim are coming up with are, maybe not, they don't have a problem with the Inyan itself, but the fact that the Chassidim are coming up with it, maybe they're making a new Torah and whatever, Chas v'Shalom. So therefore, so okay, so whatever. So in this Truva, the Alter Rebbe wrote this Truva to the Kehillah of Vilna, like 2 or 3 years before he passed away, explaining, he deals over there in detail with the whole Shalshalot Mamachlokas, and then the halacha part of it is printed in the whole letter you can find in Igros Kodesh of the Alter Rebbe. The part that's relevant to halacha, the part that's relevant to what's the importance of Sakin and Molotoshim, as far as halacha, that you have in Shiloh Tetrovus in the back of the Alter Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch. Okay. Omer of Chista. Minayim
Mabzim. Even kitchen knives in
Molotoshim. Well, there I guess. There's that also, yeah.
Even fire knives.
Yeah. I guess, yeah. Okay. Omer of Chista. Minayim Mabzim. Okay. I saw somebody suggesting that maybe also the whole thing that Sakin and Molotoshim eventually became more widely accepted might also be, yeah, because there was improvements in technology with the improvements and the ability to forge better knives, and yeah, they were able to make them Molotoshim, and therefore, yeah, okay. Okay. Omer Rav Chista, minayim lebzik asak in minat Torah. Rav Chista says, where do we get the concept minat Torah, or from Tanakh more generally, that you have to check the knife before you shech? Now, in principle, you could just check it after you check. The problem is, the Rashba says, then you might forget, and then you might end up, you might forget to check the knife, and then you have a problem, you don't know who is good. So therefore, you have to check it before then. Fine, in principle, you could check it after the shchita, and as long as it's still whole, then you know the shchita was good. However, we're saying over here, you should be checking before the shchita, because, otherwise you might forget and not check after. Then you have a problem, yes, then you have a suffix. Then, well, that's true also.
Yeah,
okay. Right. Okay. Because Bane has had very thick skin, it's more likely that, yeah, it's more likely that, yeah, makes sense. Okay. So, I mean, now the bigger stack in that photo, Shanema, because the post says, and I'm not just talking about to check the knife, actually, we're talking about, we're going to mention in a second that it has to be that a chochem checks it, that a tamad chochem. So where do we know that concept? Shanema, because you have a pasuk, or shchatem bazeva achaltem. You have a story in Shmuel Aleph. We talked about it briefly at the end of Vachim. You had doing one of the wars of the Jewish people against the Plishtim. They captured many animals from the Plishtim, and the people are very hungry. Shmuel told them to fast all day, so now they're going and shechting and eating al hadam, whatever we explained over there at the end of Vachim, a couple of possibilities what it means. They've been mastish the animals as korbanos, and now they're eating them without sprinkling the blood, or they're eating next to the blood without covering it, whatever the details were. Anyway, the point is that So Shaul announces that everybody ushchatem bozeva achaltem, you should check with this and eat. With this, meaning knives that are checked personally by me. The question is, what is pshita? Well, of course you have to check the knives. The kibin to kin knock up shchita, since after all, the whole problem is, if in the course of the shchita, you were to make a hole in the vesh, in the food pipe, in the esophagus, right away the animal would be treif. When we learn in Perek Elu Treifas, in the third Perek, we're going to talk about that, unlike the windpipe, where you can have a hole in it and it doesn't automatically make the animal treif, the esophagus is not like that. Even a tiny hole in it, when the animal's alive, makes it treif. Therefore, you have, the esophagus is one of the two pipes, and then one of the two major pipes in the neck. Yeah, those are the two simonim, the vest and the corner, the esophagus and the windpipe. So the esophagus, the vest, if you have even a tiny hole in it when the animal's alive, the animal's safe. Therefore, that's the whole point why you can't have a knife with a nick in it, is because it's gonna make a hole in the vest. So obviously, the whole point is, if you have a hole there, it's safer. Obviously, boy, you're ridiculous. Obviously, you have to check the knife to make sure that you don't accidentally make a hole in the vest to make the animal safe before you end up shafting it.
The
food pipe, the esophagus.
The vest is the esophagus?
Yeah. The corner is the windpipe. Okay. The answer is, l'chocham, Kamrinan. Okay. But you're right. Rav Chista is not saying how you know you have to check the knife before shchita. He's saying how do you know you have to have a chacham check it, meaning like the town rav or some other prominent talmud chacham. Yeah. So the question is, what do you mean? Va'omer Rav Yechanan lo'omer laharet sakev l'chacham elements in ikvodesh l'chacham. Didn't Rav Yechanan say the only reason why you have to show the knife to the chacham is only because of the covered of the chacham, that it shouldn't be like you're saying, like, I'm independent of him, I can do whatever I want, so it's only the fat is covered. What are you bringing a pasuk to say that it's, in other words, it's required minasara? Yes, you're right, it is only midrabbanan. The pasuk is only in a smachta, the whole concept of the chachamim made the takana, that you have to show it to a chacham, mitnei kvodesh chacham. Nothing really to do with the shchita per se, but rather because of the covered of the chacham. Now, with that said, by the way, in more recent times, we have the Shochim don't usually show their knife to the Chacham. And it brings in Shochan Aruch, first of all, there's a concept, maybe the Chacham can be mostly on his covered, but also it talks about, the post can talk about that question a lot, but also there's the idea, since nowadays you don't have, it wasn't like in those days where just anybody would share. Nowadays you have Shochim or Bodkim that are appointed by the community and regulated by them. So therefore, fine, they can show their knives to each other or whatever. You have somebody in charge over there to check the knives. They don't have to go back. They don't have to have to show it to the shotzer of in order for him to check. Nowadays, they show it to one another, or they have somebody in charge over there to check it. Okay. So now, how do you go about checking the knife to make sure it doesn't have any nick? The Ma'arava Badu of the Shimsha in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, they would check it in the sun. So Rashi says two possibilities what that means. One is they would hold it up to the sun and look along the edge of it, and that way if there's any nicks they would be able to see. The other possibility, Rashi says, is that they would look at the shadow of it. If there's a nick in the knife, then the shadow won't have a straight line. So then they'll realize that there's a nick in it. Okay, that's one way of doing it. In Nahadah, Bodkul of the Maya, in Nahadah, they would check the shchita knives using water. Again, two explanations in Rashi. One is that you take the knife, blade down, and you run it over the surface of the water. If there's a nick in it, then you'll end up seeing a wave in the water. you'll end up seeing if the knife is completely smooth and sharp, then it'll cut through the water, like, then you'll see a straight line. But if you have a nick in it, then that nick will hold back a little bit of the water, and then you'll see, like, a wave going this way and that in the water. Yeah, you run it along in the water. Here, let's see. I'm sure. Yeah, and then run it through, and you'll see. There'll be ripples. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you. Yeah. Ripples. So like this, so they would check, and they'd see there'll be ripples in the water, right? So that's one explanation. Here you can see there's the illustration over here. You're running it. Okay, so they're running it on the water. They're running it in the water, and if there's a notch in there, then you see a ripple running down where there's a notch in. The other explanation, Rashi says, is what they would do is they'd take a drop of water and run it. They'd hold the knife vertically and run a drop of water down the edge of it. If there's a notch, then it'll hold back the water and it won't go all the way to the other end. So if they see after a minute that the other end is not wet, then they know there's a notch somewhere there. Okay. So that was another way. Rav Sheshes Bodiflo Beresh Lishnei. Rav Sheshes would check the knife using the tip of his tongue. That's very sensitive. So that way, if there's a notch, then he'll be able to tell. I guess so, yeah. Rav Achabayakov Bodiflo Bechot Asayra. And Rav Achabayakov would check it using a hair. And if the hair got caught in it, then you know that there's a notch. That goes back to what I was saying before, that you have Rishonim who say that when we said a geras before, it doesn't even mean that a fingernail gets caught in it. It means that even a hair gets caught in it. The other Rishonim counter, and they say, no, maybe these various tests that the Gemara is mentioning over here, maybe they were only doing them with chumrah. Maybe in principle, all you need to do is check with the fingernail, or with the fingernail and the finger, as the Gemara is going to say in a second. And these various Amorim were machma on themselves and did extra checks.
My father did in the house, it was nailed. Everyone throughout the same. I would see him do by this part over here. It's a very thick hair.
So hold on, we're going to talk about it in a second.
You put a hair, the hair's going to...
If you do it gently, you do it gently enough that the hair won't break, but if it gets caught, it gets caught. Okay.
You're not pushing pressure on
yeah.
the hair.
Yeah. You're just running it gently along. Okay. The surah, Amri, in surah, they took the view as follows. Fine, you have all these nice ways of checking using water or the sun or this or that. You know what? Bisra, well, after all, the knife is meant to cut flesh. Bisra lived to cut, so therefore you should be checking it using flesh.
How do you check?
So how do you check that? So, Amr al-Papa, Tricha b'dika, abisra v'atufra v'atlosa rusa. What you have to do is you have to check the knife on the skin, meaning like the skin of your finger, gently, of course, so you don't cut your finger, and on the nail, v'atlosa rusa, and on three sides, meaning the two vertical sides as well as the actual cutting edge. Because the point is, as we're going to talk about in a second, the problem is when you're shechting with the knife, on the one hand, you have, of course, you have the actual cutting edge is cutting through the muscles and eventually through the cement. But you also have the sides of it touch the vest and the kana as well. You don't want any notches over there that are going to rip the kana or the vest because you have the same problem. So therefore, you need to check on all three sides. In fact, the Rosh writes that what you have to do is, he says, you have to, with each one of them, you have to check in both directions, halacha and hava. So therefore, it comes out, in both directions, going this way and going that way, because there might be a one-directional notch, like we said before. So it comes out, if you have to do on all three sides, on the two sides and on the cutting edge, and you have to do each one with your finger and with your fingernail, and each one in both directions, it comes out altogether, you have 12 checks that you have to do. And he says, the pasuk that we quoted before, shatam bazeh va'achaltem, is also remembered to this day, it's going to be a 12. Lamaisa, I don't think nowadays they do all those checks. But so in other words, let's say on the one side you start with a check with a fingernail this way and that, then a check with your finger this way and that, that's four. The same thing on the other side, another four, and the same thing on the blade, and the same thing on the cutting edge, another four.
So the sides and the bottoms, three.
Right, yeah.
On each side, twice.
So the Rosh says it comes out 12. So you're mentioning your father would do it with the skin, with the skin on the palm of his hand. Okay, so I think nowadays, it mentions in Shulchan Aruch that I think nowadays the Shochtim generally just check using their finger, using their fingernail, I mean. So the main thing you need to do is with the fingernail, because that'll catch pretty much anything.
Exactly. You have the sharp edge of the blade twice.
So you have the sharp edge of the blade in one direction with the fingernail, then in the other direction with the fingernail.
That's
twice. Then in one direction with your finger, in the other direction, or the palm of your hand, whatever, and in the other direction with the finger, that's four. Same thing on one side, and the same thing on the other side. If this is the knife, you have, here's the cutting edge, and here's one side of the blade, and here's the other side of the blade. You want to get those also, because again, those are going to be touching the corner and the back as you're shafting through them.
Well, what was the one that said that a not smart teacher shows a shkita on himself?
I think the Gemara, I don't know about a not smart teacher, but I think the Gemara mentioned someplace about it when he said, when we say that Tamar Chachamim are most of Nefesh for Torah, it means that Marin helps shkita ba'aslam, that they demonstrate shkita on themselves. Well, the Gemara is saying over here that they would check with your fingers or whatever. So yeah, if you have a... Okay. Okay, so Ravina says to Ravashi in this connection, Omelon Rav Samar Bred Rav Mesharshi Mishmach. Now Rav Samar, the son of Rav Mesharshi, told us in your name, Ravashi, the Amrit Le Mishmed the Rabba, that you said in turn in the name of Rabba. And by the way, Rashi points out over here, in the name of Rabba means he didn't hear it from Rabba personally. The Yom Shemesh Rabba, Nolad Ravashi. When Rabba passed away, Ravashi was born. So he didn't hear this particular din from him directly. He heard it from other people who heard it from Rabba. This din, we heard that you said in the name of Rava, this din that we just quoted from Rapapa, that the knife has to be checked with your skin and with your fingernail and on all three sides. So is that correct? Amalei, said Rav Ashi answers, Abis Rava Tufra Amri. I did say that you have to check it using your skin and using your fingernail. I never said anything about having to check on all three sides. Because now we had before in the Gemara, we had a concept that was brought before on Daf Ches, and the Gemara is going to bring it in a few lines over here, that when you start cutting through the neck of the animal, the cut widens because the muscles contract. So therefore the sides of the knife don't necessarily touch the cut edges of the kana and the vesh. So therefore, Rav Ashi is saying, according to this version, I never said you have to check it on all three sides, because why should you need to? You just have to check the cutting edge. The Ikadamri, another version of what Rav Ashi answered, is Abis Ravatruf Amri. Yes, I did say you have to check it using your finger and using your fingernail and using and on all three sides. However, Mishmei the Rav Alei Amri, all that's incorrect in what you reported is that he didn't say it in the name of Rav. So according to the second version, the din is actually correct. He just didn't say it in the name of Rav. By the way, Tosfos brings a logical reason why should you have to check it using both the fingernail and the finger. The reason is that you're cutting through two different types of tissues. You're cutting through the kana, which we're going to learn soon on Daf Yud-Ches, has rings of cartilage around it, which are like a fingernail. And then you're cutting through the vesh, which is just muscle, which is like the skin. Therefore you need both in order to check. So therefore, in other words, when you're checking the knife for nicks or notches or whatever, you need both sides. You need to check with a fingernail because that'll tell you whether it's going to end up ripping through the cutter, which has cartilage around it like the fingernail. And you check it with your skin and your finger to see whether it has anything in it that would rip through the vesh rather than cutting. Well, you do it gently, obviously, here, but the point is, you see whether there's a notch there that then when you come in to do the shkita and you're putting a little bit of pressure on the knife there, actually, and not enough to do drop, obviously, but the fact is there is some pressure, so therefore you want to make sure that it's not going to... Yeah, I can imagine, sure. Yeah, in both senses of the word. By the way, though, it does mention in Shulchan Aruch, for that reason, when you're checking a knife, you have to concentrate a lot, because otherwise you might easily miss a small miss. And you have also, that's I think also what it mentions in Shulchan Aruch, the reason why they don't do the check with the finger as much nowadays is because you're not really going to tell much sensitively with that. You'll be able to tell more sensitively with your fingernail. Okay. More dinim about this. Well, because fingernail will easily catch if there's something there. So yeah, sometimes you should check on your skin as well, again, gently, in order to make sure that you didn't miss anything that you would have missed with your fingernail. Okay. Fine. Ravina and Rav Acha Brei D'Rava one time are sitting as Talmidim in front of Rav Ashi. I stuck in Lakamei D'Rav Ashi Lavodka. They brought a knife to Rav Ashi to check it. So Rav Ashi says to Rav Acha Brei D'Rava, Bidka, go ahead and check it. Do the checking on my behalf. Bobka tufrava bitrava fossilus. So sure enough, he checked it, as we just said, using his fingernail and using his skin and on all three sides. Amalei, and Ravashi says to him, Yishar, that was correct. Yeshakoyach. V'chein amar Rav Kahana, and in fact Rav Kahana said the same thing, that that's what you have to do. Okay. Rav Yema Omar, Rav Yema says, no, I disagree. Sure, you do have to check it using your finger or using some other part of your skin. You do have to check it using a fingernail. But Rav Yema says, you don't have to check on all three sides. You just have to check on the cutting edge. You don't have to check on the two sides of here and here. After all, Milo Omer Rav Zera Omer Shmuel, didn't Rav Zera say in the name of Shmuel, which we learned back on Daf Ches, Libin Sakin V'Shachadba, if a person heats up a knife until it's white hot and checks with it, Shetotik Sheva, the Shita is kosher, aye, what do you mean, you're going to be burning the best or the con as you go through them, and it'll make the animal in the bed. No. Yeah, the reason is, Shechiduda Kodim Lulibona. The reason is because the sharp edge of the knife before the liver and before the red hot heart gets to the corner and the vest, because the muscles and the corner and the vest themselves pull open because the muscles contract. No, but that's the point. You know, the sharp point of it accomplishes the shita before the red hotness of it is able to burn anything, because here you have an illustration of it. The whole knife is red hot, but you have the blade of it is what's cutting. The bottom edge of it is what's cutting. So therefore, the sides of it are red hot, but they don't have a chance to burn the corner and the vest because the muscle contracts and it opens wide.
But the blade is also red hot.
The tip of the blade is not, the tip of the blade is narrow. It's not hot enough to be able to actually cut. I mean, to actually burn. It's accomplishing cutting more than burning.
It's so sharp.
There's so little metal on there because all you have is a sharp tip. There's enough temperature there, but there's not enough heat.
And basically, the temperature dramatically drops on the very tip.
Yeah, that's the point. That's right. Okay. So therefore, so the same logic, we have a kashalon, and we ask, what do you mean, ha'ikat zadid? Don't you have the problem that the sides of the blade are going to burn through the kana and the vesh, and therefore the animal is going to be shaved? But amunin, and we say in that Sylvia, no, because beta shita mirvach rabah. Because when you shech, it opens up, because the muscle contracts. Hochanami, so the same thing you should argue, even if there's notches on the side of the knife. What's the problem? Beta shita mirvach rabah. It gets wider, and therefore there shouldn't be a problem. So therefore, Rav Yema...
No.
Again, even if he hadn't heated up the knife, the tissues would still open up because the muscles contract.
They would open, yeah. But are you allowed to burn them so that they separate?
No. However, okay, so now Rav Yema is disagreeing with what we just said. However, the poskim point out on Shulchan Aruch, first of all, you have the consideration. Still, you do have to check the size because forget about notches that go into the knife. What about if you have something that sticks out of the side of the knife?
Right.
Then you might have, that might end up ripping through,
yeah.
Without, where, what? No, that's the point. You might have, but the knife has,
on the flat edge.
You might have on the flat edges, on the edge over here and over here. Forget about that you might have a nick going inward. You might have a little, this thing, a metal sticking outward that would rip someone. And so you have to be careful about that. That's what you're checking for when you're checking the side of the knife. And b'chal, this whole concept that beis hashchita mirvach rabah is not universally accepted either. So therefore, in Shulchan Aruch it mentions that if you shech, for example, with a red hot knife, it says it's possible. However, you have some poskim who say that it'll be mutter on the basis of beis hashchita mirvach rabah. So do we accept that halacha or not? That's a machlokes of the poskim whether we accept that concept.
If someone were to, right?
But it also is negeya as far as the question: do you have to check the sides of the knife? And the answer is you do, because you might have things sticking out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. Well, yeah, could be sharpened, and obviously, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, so you're saying about Lubin Sakin? Okay. Okay, it's not as sharp, but it doesn't have to be so sharp. It has to be smooth. That's what we're saying before. Okay. So then I guess if there's a way to heat it up without killing it, then. Okay. Okay. Fine. All right, let's go on. Okay.
Why would you have to check the flat of the blade all the time? You check it once, it should be enough. I understand that
opinion, she's a blade.
No, because that also, you can have a developed bumps and a developed...
Once you've checked it,
okay,
you're not going to develop a bump.
Fine, so maybe you don't have to check it. So maybe you don't have to check it after each animal, but you at least have to check, you have to check the dice as a whole after each animal, the blade in particular, and the size. You have to check as often as necessary.
Chicken, you can't, you don't check it twice, but a big...
A big animal, yeah, because you're cutting through, tough skin and tough muscles or whatever. Yeah, it can easily cause. Yeah, and the flat of the blade also. Okay, all right, let's go. There are three ginim where a pegima, where a notch or a nip is relevant. Number one, pegimas etzim the pesach. Number one, a notch in a bone of the korban pesach. The Torah tells us you're not allowed to break the bones of the korban pesach. And that also includes nicking them. So there's a nick in them. There's a minimum size for the nick for the person to be chai as malchus. Number two, pgimas oizen b'chor. The nick that you might have in the ear of a b'chor, which that would be considered a mum, which would make it that now you can chest it and eat it. And you can have, but the ear gets nicked.
By what?
By whatever it is, however it is. The point is, a b'chor that doesn't have a mum, in the time of the bris mikdash, you would have to bring another korban. Now there's no bris mikdash, so you have to wait till it develops a mum, and only then can you shecht it and the korban can eat it. You have to wait till it develops a mum. One such mum, we'll learn all about the mumim in b'chor, says Hashem, but one of them is a nick or a notch in the ear, so therefore, with that...
In the ear, then anyway.
You're right, but here we're talking about in the ear, because Rashi says, you're right. I mean, there are other Evarim that also could have a notch in them, where it would also be considered a mum. We're only mentioning the ear because it's the first one mentioned over there in the Bechoros. When it starts listing the mumim, that's the first one that I mentioned the notch. But you're right, the thing. Yeah, well, that also, yeah, it's more likely to get nicked. Okay, whatever. And number three, Pegimas mum b'kodshin. The third one is a mum as far as other kodshin. So what does that mean? Rashi explains, now Bechor is a male animal. By definition. But you have other kodshim that can be female animals. And you have, the Mishnah and Bechorus mentions over there, that if you have the Beit HaRechem, if you have the entrance to the womb of a female animal, get the nick in it, it's also a womb. So the same thing, all of these three nicks that we're talking about have the same minimum size, that they would pass all, in the case of a korban pesach, a person made a small nick like that in the bone, he'd be chayav malchus. In the case of the Bechor, the Kodshim, it means that now you can be Kodah to them, or now you can check them and eat them, whatever. No, when you eat it, if you made a notch in the bone, and when you're eating it, the pastor says, yeah.
Oh, see, people, isn't that very
good? Yeah, of course. By the way, Rabbeinu Gershom has a different girsa over here. Instead of Kodshim, he has a girsa crushing. That we're talking about the crushing of the Mishkan had to be smooth without notches. Without notches, yeah. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. But Rav Chista Amar Ach Gimah Sakin, Rav Chista says there's a fourth one where you have the same size, namely a knife for shritah, which we were just saying, it can't have any notches in it. The Idach, now what would Rav Shlakish answer? As he has to agree with that, it's fine, he agrees with it, but for Cholin, like Amayri, he's not talking about dinim that involves Cholin, he's only talking about dinim that involves Kodshim. A shritah knife involves Cholin as well. Okay, the cholon, and we continue, all of these three or four things, the size that's considered a notch, as far as them, is the same as what would be a notch as far as the mizbeach that would pass for us. But how much would that be in the mizbeach? Enough that a fingernail would be tachgur in it. And here is where you have the machlokes are showing him what tachgur means. Rashi uses a French word over here that translates to catch. So according to Rashi, tachgur is the same as a geres that we said before, that it catches the fingernail in it. According to other Rishonim, the word tachgur over here means that the fingernail will stop or like skip on it, meaning that the fingernail will feel the notch even if it doesn't actually get caught in it, which is a much smaller notch, obviously. According to those Rishonim, yeah, even a smaller notch, even if it doesn't catch the fingernail, if it's small enough for the fingernail to feel Chatasqua but the quota, then that's already enough to pass all the night. Okay. Fine, the Gemara says Mace. The Gemara says I have a contradiction. What are you telling me about the Mizbeah? You would need even a tiny notch like that would be enough to pass all it. A Blaiser says, Tama Gimmas a Mizbeah. What size notch would pass all the Mizbeah? Rav Shim ben Yechoya and a Ketach, only if you have a break in the Mizbeah the size of a Ketach. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov and a Kazayin. Either one is bigger than Tachgur Batsiparin. The answer is like Kasha, it's not a contradiction. Haba Sida, Haba Avna. One is talking about stones, the other one is talking about plaster on the Mizeach. The stones, therefore, they have to be, the Pasuk says, Avon and Shlemus, they have to be whole stones. So with them, even a tiny notch, even one that the fingernail will catch in or feel, is enough to topple them. And for that reason, actually, Tosfos brings from the Gemara in, that they would use, that they would use small, smooth stones, for example, ones that you find in a stream, which are smoothed out by the water, and there are no notches or nicks or
what?
For the
Mizeach,
yeah. To build the Mizeach, yeah, they would build it out of fish stone. So that you have even a tiny notch is enough to pass for it. No, because you can't smooth it out with iron tools. You can't use iron tools on the Mizeach. Because it has to be avonim shleimos, and if it has enough, then it's not shleimos. As opposed to when it comes to the sid, the plaster coating on the Mizeach, then it's only possible if you have a tefach or if you have a tefach or a kazayis missing a bit, as we said. Because then you don't have, because then the Mizeach has to be whole also, but the amount for wholeness for that is much larger.
So the stones, it's much
loose. Yeah, well, any indent that the fingernail would catch in or that it would feel is the case, depending how they're returning loan. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know. Okay, that's a good question. If you were to smooth it out. I don't know. Okay. Okay.
No, isn't it the whole point slayers that they have?
That would be whole, yeah, that's true. That's true also, right? Yeah. Yeah. Tosfos, by the way, mentions in this connection that even if they use the shamir to cut up the stone, that wouldn't work either because the shamir can cut stones, but it still cuts them roughly. You still have notches in them.
So what do you do?
So therefore, that's the point. You can't use the shamir on the stones in the Mizeach. That's the point. That's what Tosfos says. They couldn't cut them. They have to use naturally smooth stones, like from a stream bed or whatever.
No,
as long as they've been rolling around in the stream, they get smoothed out on all sides. Okay.
Why didn't you use marble on these there? Very, very smooth.
Okay, but so you have to get the marble from somewhere. You have to cut it. Yeah, you have to cut it using iron tools, and that would make it possible. Okay, fine. Getting back to the matter of checking knives, Amunapuna, hi tavcha delay sur sakina kamechacham, if a butcher, meaning a shochet, does not have his knife checked by the chacham, Mishamtin and Levi put him in cheder.
The
Rav
we just said it's a cover.
So before we said it's covered for a chacham, so now we're saying if he doesn't do that, though, we put him in cheder. So one, because he's showing disrespect for the chacham. And the any chacham who knows the dinim can check the knife. Yeah. What? Well, I guess he has to know the dinim. He has to know what to look for, sure. Okay. The Rava Amim Abinale, Rava says, actually what we do is we fire such a person, and we make a public announcement that any meat from him is trait. And the Gemara says, now, Rav Huna and Rava are not actually arguing. They're talking about two different cases. Kan v'shanimsa sakina yotha, kan v'shalonimsa sakina yotha. The one case is talking about where afterwards somebody else checks the knife and it turns out it was good afterwards. So he didn't actually check the animals in, the shchita itself was kosher.